Vy говорите по-русски? Have you ever heard Leo Tolstoy's War and Peace in the original Russian? Here's how it sounds.
Пьер говорил быстро, оживленно. Он взглянул раз на лицо компаньонки, увидал внимательно, ласково, любопытный взгляд, устремленный на него. И как это часто бывает во время разговора,
Pierre was speaking quickly, animatedly. He glanced once at the face of the companion. But when he said the last words about the Ростовs, the perplexity on Princess Maria's face showed still more strongly. She said, "Don't you recognize her?" Pierre glanced once more at the pale, fine face of the companion, with its dark eyes and strange mouth. Something dear, long forgotten, and more than sweet looked at him from those attentive eyes. But no, it can't be, he thought, this stern, thin, pale, aged face. It can't be her, it's only a reminiscence of that one.
You've been listening to Richard Pevere and Larissa Volokhonsky, the celebrated husband and wife team who've just come out with a new translation of War and Peace. She's Russian, he's American, and together, for the last two decades, they've translated many of the great Russian writers, starting with Dostoevsky, moving on to Gogol and Chekhov, and finally, tackling Tolstoy's great masterpieces. They told Steve Paulson why we need a new translation of War and Peace.
We had no interest in making a new version for modern readers, for updating the language, for making it easier to read or anything like that, but simply for the joy of getting closer and closer to what Tolstoy does in Russian.
So that's interesting. It's not to make the book more palatable to the modern reader, to adapt to modern sensibilities in some way. It's just the reverse, it sounds like.
It is.
To be more faithful to Tolstoy himself.
Our loyalty is, first of all, to the author we're translating. My task, for instance, when I prepare the first draft, is to be as close to the Russian text as possible, to convey all the rhythms, all the repetitions, to let Richard know everything about the unusual qualities of the text. What makes an author like Tolstoy great is that he is unusual. He doesn't write in clichés or in ready-made phrases. So we avoid this in our translations.
Well, can you describe your translating process? Because it's fascinating from what I've read about it, how you go back and forth and you each do a piece of this and then you combine your efforts. How does this whole business work?
Well, I prepare this first draft. It's not literal, but I try to be as precise as possible. Then Richard takes this draft and looks at the Russian text and somewhat at other translations, and he works on this text, creates his own version. It's a second version. First, I read it against the original once more and see what Richard did and what he failed to do. And then we look at his questions and my questions and we discuss it and we make what is more or less final decisions. And then we go back and forth several times and read the novel at least five times in the process.
Wow. And then with this book in particular, War and Peace, you're working with an enormous novel. That sounds like it would take a long time.
Yes, it did. Two of us working full time with nothing else. It took us 3 years.
Now, are there certain, as you're going about doing this, are there certain words or phrases that you really have a hard time figuring out how to translate?
Yes, there are a lot of them. It's not the intellectual things that are difficult. It's the very specific culture-bound things. Names for the shapes of dogs' feet, for instance. Tolstoy was himself an avid hunter and knew dogs and knew the sounds of their voices, the shapes of their feet, the wagging of their tails, and there's a whole hunter's language. And this is extremely difficult to do well because it's wonderful in Russian and it's very figurative. And there's also the most difficult thing probably is low-class dialogue because, again, Tolstoy knew the Russian peasants intimately and loved their language and liked to be... He was very precise in his use of peasant expressions and peasant mannerisms. And our English language, since we are much further from serfdom than, I guess, more democratic, we lost a lot of that. And we've purged it out of the language, and we don't have these terms anymore.
Hmm. Well, isn't there a kind of a philosophical dilemma at stake, which is how literal you want to be to the original? I mean, are you really trying to translate word for word, or is it more to be faithful to the feeling of the original?
Yes. What we do is never really word for word. That can't work at all. You have to find resources in English that correspond to Tolstoy's use of Russian. But you can come much closer to that than translators very often do. And this is the joy of doing it, I think, because as long as it works in English, it must work in English or it's a failure. But if you approach Russian as closely as possible while remaining within the realm of English, you get something new, which is, I think, the gift of translation to English, for instance.
I can give an example, a very simple and quick example. Tolstoy says there is a mass of soldiers moving across the bridge, and the narrator describes them, the soldiers with their similarly dissimilar faces. This is our translation. Однообразно разнообразными лицами. You know immediately what it means. It's a crowd, a mass of people, and their faces all look the same, and yet each had its own individuality. Now, all other translations, and there are 8 of them, I believe, they all change it. They don't say similarly dissimilar. They say similar and yet so different. For some reason, they cannot bring themselves to say what Tolstoy says.
Because in their eyes, that would be awkward to render it in English that way.
Yeah, they aren't confident that they can do that in English, although he felt perfectly confident doing it in Russian.
And it is unusual in Russian, just as it is in English. It's just unexpected, but this is what he says.
What is it that you like about Tolstoy so much? I mean, I know you've translated other Russian writers too, but just to focus on Tolstoy and this book in particular, War and Peace, what stands out to you about this novel?
What stands out to me, and one of the joys of translating it, is how alive everything is in it, how minutely seen and realized in words, details of the war and of peace, of a ball, a grand ball, of the dishes that are served, of the movements of the dance, the inner thoughts of characters. Tolstoy has an incredible gift for eavesdropping on his characters, on all of them, on children. And there's something that you wouldn't think of. He's such an overwhelming spirit when he wants to denounce or to present an idea. But his sensitivity is extraordinary and very fine. And he feels the lives of animals. He feels the inner movements of children's moods, adolescents' moods, and old people's moods, of peasants, even of wolves in the wolf hunt.
Of a soldier on a battlefield. Of a dog. In Anna Karenina, Tolstoy suddenly becomes a dog.
He actually enters the mind of the hunting dog and looks at the world through her eyes. This is so fresh in Russian, and it's done through words. That's all he has. So the freshness comes from the way Tolstoy writes Russian. The challenge to us and the delight is in coming as close as possible to that in English.
Now, it seems to me that something that can happen for today's reader is that we've all heard that War and Peace is a classic. It's supposed to be one of the great novels ever written. But I'm wondering if we, as readers today, have to somehow get beyond that. I mean, we have to kind of put aside that notion, this is a classic, and just to be able to enjoy the novel for its own sake.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a very modern book. And Tolstoy meant it as a very experimental book. It was a great gamble for him to see if he could do what he set out to do in writing it. And it puzzled readers when he started publishing it. It wasn't an obvious classical form. It wasn't clear what it was about, really. Who was the hero? You should lose this notion of an already arrived, shelved classic and go back, because this is, like Lawrence said, the bright book of life. You know, this is still an extremely alive piece of work.
Yeah, one critic called it Encyclopedia of Russian Life. It's a stiff definition that has been repeated in all textbooks, but I still want to quote it because it is really so diverse and so rich in detail and so alive. All these characters leap at you from the past. You know, you in the end, you think you know them. They are your friends or they are you. Actually, you can identify with many of them.
Didn't Tolstoy himself say that it would be wrong to call this a novel? I mean, he didn't like that description for this book that he had written.
Yes, he said it's not a novel. He wrote a piece which we include as an appendix to our translation. He wrote a little piece called Some Remarks Apropos of the Book War and Peace. And he states outright, this is not a novel. It is not an epic. It is not a chronicle. It is what the author wanted and was able to say in the way in which it is said, which doesn't define anything at all.
It means that I did something unique, and so I defy you to label it.
Right, yeah. That's a very typical gesture of Tolstoy. And he says it's not this, it's not that, and never says what it is.
Richard Pevere and Larissa Volokhonsky talking about their new translation of War and Peace with Steve Paulson.